So let's begin, as we always do, with our word of prayer, asking God to prepare us for the power of the Holy Spirit to better understand His Word, to guide us through our study this morning, and to be with us in our time of discussion. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, and we come before Your throne this morning. We lift our prayers up to You through Jesus, who sits at Your right hand, knowing that it's through Jesus that we can approach You. And so we thank You for the work when Jesus came to this earth and went to the cross and died for us, died for our sins. And we know by faith in Christ and loading all our baggage, all our sins on Jesus, that we are indeed forgiven. And we have the promises that You have promised in Your Word. So as we continue to study Your Word, we thank You for that Word, that written Word that we can continually go back to and we can search. Help us, O Lord, to continue to, as the Holy Spirit moves us, to dig deeper into Your Word, to grow in our understanding and knowledge, and to develop and build our relationship with You. So we ask You for that now in this time of study, that as we can finish up on the study of the book of Ruth, that You will continue to give us perhaps new insights or reinforce insights that we've already known before. But it encourages us, it challenges us in our walk of faith. So I thank You for this time, and thank You for the people gathered here. Be with us this day. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Karen will hand out the book of Judges study. I'll talk about it a little bit. I've got one here for Dorcas and Bob, so you don't have to come here. Thank you. All right, let's
Barry.
Yes.
Connie had a comment.
Oh, Connie. Go ahead.
Oh, I know. I said it in the book of Ruth, maybe should give hope for women who have had like widows or you know, other terrible things happen.
Right.
Hope for them that their life isn't over.
That's right. Well, the book of Ruth is such a neat book because you can think with all the tragedy Naomi experienced, and Ruth as well, and yet God had a greater plan. God had a better plan. And so God's greater purpose is always what we are to be looking for. Because there's always a brighter tomorrow than we in Christ. Okay.
Gary, he needs a coffee.
Did I get one?
Yeah, I gave you one.
Well, then you took
it away. Take it away. Hey, Bob. Took it away from you. Give it and take it away. Okay, well, let's take a look with an overview. We have about 15 minutes here to start on Judges. And now, why am I going to Judges?
Yeah, why?
Why? You guys might say, why did you do that? Well, we know the book of Ruth took place in the time of the Judges. And as beautiful as the story of Ruth is, and we also need to look at what was going on in Israel at that time. And it's a very probing lesson, I believe, in the book of Judges. Let me just go through what I have on the board here. I'm going to approach this a little differently that I have the other books I've gone through. I'm not going to go through it chapter by chapter or verse by verse. I'll read it all, but I'm taking chunks at a time. And so I've got it broken down into eight total lessons. And you know, I'll talk about it here on the board. Okay, so let's talk about the book of Judges. I don't know if it's a majority view, but it's a major view of who the writer is of the book of Judges. many think it was Samuel, because it was at the time of the judges. And he is the transition person that moved Israel from the time of the judges to the time of the kings, the monarchy. And so Samuel was the one who anointed Saul and anointed David to be kings of Israel, first two kings of Israel. So I just put a question mark by it, because it's not mentioned in the book of Judges who the writer is, but there's some evidence that would point to Samuel. And if it was Samuel, then the timing of the writing of this book would be between 1050 and 1000 BC, basically before David and after the judges. So, but many think it wasn't until the next century, the 10th century, the 900s BC, that it was probably actually written, because of many things that are said in the book of Judges. So we don't know for sure. The timing of the events in the book of Judges, I usually date them from about 330 years. You know, it varies depending on what you include in this time frame, but some think it's more like 350 years. Some even put it over 400 years. But this is kind of where I come down, around 1380 BC to 1050 BC. That's the time frame. And so that's the same time frame in which the book of Ruth at some point occurred. I describe this book as being, and this is very important, even in our lives and our struggles and everything that we do, I believe it's a problem in the church today, the institutional church. But the theme of this book is Israel's cycle of sin and deliverance. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll see it in each one of the accounts of how Israel kept falling into apostasy, into apathy, and even into anarchy. And so, and I talked about that here. So Israel's cycle of sin and deliverance. This is kind of the picture of the cycle of sin and deliverance. From rebellion, sin, to retribution. In other words, God allows it to happen because they've turned away from God. They forgot and forsaken God. When we forget and forsake God, God will bring things into our lives that will try to wake us up. Hit us with a 2x4 between the eyes. So rebellion to retribution. Hopefully that changes the hearts of the people that are in this oppression, bondage, and so forth that can occur at the time of retribution, which is wanting them to repent. And what does repent mean? Change your ways. It's generally pictured, turn around, walk in the opposite direction. Where you've been going, what you've been doing, stop it. Stop and turn around. And so repentance is to change, is to totally change. And when that happens, when that kind of seeking God, crying out, and we'll see where Israel cried out to God, you know, what are you doing? Why do you allow this to happen? And they recognize that it's their fault. So repentance takes place, and God steps in to rescue. The rescue occurs. The lifeline is tossed. And so the rescue occurs through God raising up a judge. In most cases, a righteous judge. Someone oftentimes least expected. You'll see in the major accounts here in the book of Judges, many of you have probably studied these stories or read them before. But in the book of Deborah, who would put a woman in charge in the Bible? And yet Deborah was the one. And so I always look at that. And women say, what's the role of women? in God's plan, in the church. God uses that mightily. And so Deborah is one of those least expected, but in a mighty way, she's helped save or to bring Israel back to a state of peace in their land. Gideon, again, is the least expected one to do it. Then you have Samson, in the story of Samson, which is kind of the last of the judges listed. And that, we'll look, read his story. If you know that account, the strength of Samson, you know, always in the hair, Delilah cut his hair, you know, you know those stories, but it's real. And it was only through God and his obedience to God that allowed him to have that supernatural strength. And God ultimately allowed him to use his strength to bring down the enemy at the end of his life. So, okay, let me just read what I have here for the characteristics of this book. It's the account of Israel, the chosen people of God, between Joshua and the monarchy, or the kings. Joshua, we know, is the one who took over from Moses at the end of the 40-year journey in the wilderness. And Joshua was the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after they left captivity in Egypt. And Joshua's name, as we know, most of us know, means the Lord's salvation. It's the same name in Hebrew, very close, almost the same name as Yeshua, which is Jesus. So Joshua is another type of Jesus. And so we see that this time, this interim period, between Joshua leading them into the promised land and trying to obediently do what God called them to do. And we'll deal with that in the first chapter here, because they failed to do what God told them to do. It's a time, as I said, of frequent apathy, apostasy, and anarchy, with many urgent appeals to God in times of crisis, with the Lord providing them leaders or judges to restore peace in the land. But we see that Israel continually became too comfortable. Does that remind you of anything? What about the American church? The Western church? Yeah. I think we're seeing the consequences of becoming too comfortable and self-reliant. Now, in the world way of thinking, well, it's good to be self-reliant, to be independent, to do things yourself, to be on your own. But not in God's plan. Because first and foremost, we need to be relying upon God. Because without Him, we're going to go every different direction. So we first need to rely on God. The tech program that I know Austin's been part of, I don't know if they still do it or not, but there's a phrase that they use in the tech program that has the letters FROG, F-R-O-G. Fully rely on God. So FROG, if you think of the word FROG, it stands for fully relying on God. And so, but what happens when we become too comfortable in our ways and we become self-reliant? We'll see by the examples here. We forget God and we forsake God, which in turn provokes God to inflict judgment, bondage, and oppression. And that's the story of the book of Judges. So we'll start in the first lesson, or just introduce it here. Lesson one will be the first 2+ chapters of Judges, and I call it Israel's disobedience. It's kind of an early introduction to what happens in this time frame. And we know the first part of this, chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, verse 5, I call it Israel's failed mission. In other words, what God told through Moses and Joshua for the Israelites to do when they entered the promised land, God gave them specific directions. I'll hold that for next week and we'll read it from Deuteronomy. What were God's instructions? Because we know that in the time of the judges, and what had happened between the time of wandering in the wilderness to the time of this apostasy began to take place. A new generation. A whole new generation. What are we seeing in America? When you have a turnover of a whole new generation that doesn't understand what the previous generation or two generations went through. How many of our younger generation, because we revise history in school, we don't even teach a real history. How many really even know what America did in World War II in order to, in effect, save us from being under the dictators like Hitler and the Japanese, you know, and all the men, people who died in World War II? We call that a patriotic thought, but it's more than that. It is, you know, who we put our trust in, who we relied upon. And so I just think that's what often ends up happening. So we lose track of the mission that we're given, and we do not follow. And that turns to forgetting, and then forsaking God. And then verses chapter 2, 6 to 3, 6 is about the rebellion that takes place. So I guess probably a good stopping off point. Let me just quickly look at the outline, just by the broad categories, and kind of know where we're going on this first lesson. That first part is Israel's failed mission. I've got the verses from Deuteronomy, what their mission was, in Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 20. And then how they failed, as described here in Judges, and how they did not displace their enemies. They failed to enter into rest in the land and so forth. And the consequences of their failure. We see that. And so, and then the next section is Israel's rebellion and judge. So we'll save that to our time next week. All right, let's close in a word of prayer as we prepare for our time of worship. Dear Lord, thank you for this time you've given us, this opportunity to be in your word. We thank you for how you continue to guide us by the Holy Spirit to share, to encourage one another in our walk of faith, to continue to challenge one another, to hold each other accountable as we deal with issues in our lives and need encouragement and need sometimes direction in our lives. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you provide, and that you've given us your word and you've given us the Holy Spirit. Help us to be reliant on you. Not so much self-reliant. Always turning to you first. Lifting up our needs in prayer, but also lifting up our praises and thanksgiving. So we do that now. We also pray ahead of time, Lord, for our time of worship. We just ask that your Holy Spirit move in this place. As people come into this place, as we begin our time of worship, as we lift up our voices in song, we thank you for Dorcas stepping in and providing our music this day. We thank you ahead of time for the prayers that will be lifted up. We thank you for your word that will be shared, and we thank you most, Lord, for this day that Bob once again is stepping up and willing to give the message. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will fall on him and fill him in a way that the message that you've given to him will be heard and will be taken to heart. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you ahead of time for our time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.